W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
Hey, everybody.
What up?
It's the WTH podcast.
Dun, get it.
Dun, dun. Get you some. So I was watching Little Women Atlanta, and they had this weird thing where they were bringing in Little Women to do some rap stuff with the street. I'm going to forget their names. It's the record. I don't know if they're a record company. They have every artist's name on their wall, and the only one I recognized was 2 Chainz.
All right.
Streets. I want to say Street Profits. I know that's not it. That's a tag team. The Street Profits are a tag team.
That still might be a CD.
Well, no, it's the actual record company or organization. You know, I'm going to search really quick. I'm going to insert Little Women Street. No, that's not it. No, Little Women is playing at the Sutter Street Theater in Folsom. That's not at all what I was looking for.
Well, we'll figure this out.
Yeah,
we'll have enough heads to put this one together.
Yeah, we'll get it.
We'll figure it out.
It's really not that important.
It is
street execs. It's street execs.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's.
And one of the questions, who are the street execs on Little Women Atlanta? As most of the people who watch that show have no idea.
Had no idea.
And again, I only recognize 2 Chainz. They've got a wall with every artist's logo that they represent, and I only recognize 2 Chainz. Granted, not a hip-hop fan, and super white guy. So I'm not someone who's in the know.
What'd you say it was?
The street execs.
So they're a studio in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And who were their artists?
They opened in 2015 and became a popular and well-known spot for indie artists to record their music. It's affiliated with 2 Chainz, TRU, the Real University Records, and the street execs team manage 2 Chainz as an artist as well. So,
yeah, that's.
They say a few notable acts include Fetty Wap. Okay, I've heard of him. Gip Goody from Goody Mob, Lil Boozy, Schooly, and Young Dolph.
Young Dolph.
Yeah, I don't know any of those people. Yeah. I mean, I've heard of Fetty Wap only because of TMZ.
Lil Boozy.
Oh.
Fetty Wap.
What?
Big Gip from Goody Mob.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well be speaking Martian right now.
Mm. We're speaking the streets.
Goody Mob is where CeeLo came from.
Yeah, that's.
Okay.
An outcast.
All right. Well, that's enough. I think we've explored this enough for now.
I think this was a rousing start to an amazing podcast.
Goody Mob means the good die mostly over bullshit.
All right. So here's a question. How was your week? Your 420? Your Easter? Jason?
Good, good, and good.
Kareem?
Week was busy as fuck, work-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I had, like, 3 major projects go last week.
Mm.
Damn.
So I had 2 sets of apartments and a roof on a executive building over by Saks 8.
Wow.
So it was a good week. It was busy, but I was doing a lot of running around. Saturday was good. Got to go start doing some editing for the video for The Invisible Man. Ordered some photographs from Mike's Camera. Thank you to Mike's Camera. They are great. If you need anything with photography in Sacramento that you need, Mike Cameras will take care of you.
They're not taking care of us. I just want to make that clear. They're doing nothing for this podcast.
They're doing nothing for the podcast, but they're looking out for me.
Okay.
For the Invisible Man. So that's why I'm giving them love.
You getting a discount?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, yes.
No, they're just really good people. I like them. Just wanted to like say, hey, Mike's cameras are nice. Yeah,
so they're giving me a discount, and I'm trying to get two pictures printed really large, and he told me that I could come in, and they would do like a section of it to make sure it's going to look good. Look okay before we printed it.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's why I'm saying thank you and giving them some free love because they're helping a brother out.
I bought some stuff at Mike's camera, and I would go in and I would compare it to Amazon, shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com. You can still go to NateDarlingShow.com. It doesn't matter. They'll go to the same place. And I found that a lot of their items were the exact same price as Amazon.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So if you need something right now and they have it, that was always the rub with going in and talking to them because invariably for a lot of stuff, I would go in and I'd be like, I need this. And they'd be like, well, we can order it for you and have it for you in 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, old man, you've heard of the internet, right? I can go on my phone right now on Amazon and they'll have it here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why would I have you do it and then have to haul my ass back here in 3 days?
Yeah.
They'll bring it right to my house. To my house.
Yeah.
Amazon next day delivery on a lot of stuff. They say 2 day. I've had several deliveries where it was next day.
Yeah.
Dropped it right off at the house.
Yeah. But and you can rent equipment from there too, so yeah. Like if there's a lens or something that you want to try out before you buy it, you can go in there and you can do that. So
I get it. You like them.
Yeah, I like them. I appreciate them.
Too bad they don't have a tab you can click on.
I know, right?
The mics. Yeah, Mike's camera. Go ahead and come give me a call. We can talk.
We can talk.
We can get you hooked up either with this podcast or you know, maybe with Darling New Media.
Darling New Media.
If we can ever get into our building.
Oh, maybe you guys should do a podcast about cameras.
Oh, that would be a delight. There are several. A lot of them are on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, well, these guys would kick it out of the park.
Depends on which ones. in case you're wondering about Easter, well, here are some of your favorite celebrities that are in jail for Easter. And I say favorite with my tongue firmly planted in cheek. Soulja Boy and Bill Cosby are spending their first Easter Sunday behind bars. And they're about to find out what Suge Knight and Jared Fogle already know. Holiday dinners ain't that special behind bars. TMZ obtained prison menus from across the country, and the locked up celebs are chowing down on some seriously depressing Easter feasts, if you can call it that. Here's what the options are. Soulja Boy is at the L.A. County Jail. His options are spaghetti, salad, bread and juice. Not gin and juice. Bread and juice. He's got terrible timing. He's in custody until April 30th after last week's arrest for a probation violation. Now, Bill Cosby at Pennsylvania's SCI Phoenix. Baked chicken, bread dressing, carrots, gravy, bread and margarine, fresh apple. Cosby's serving 3 to 10 for sexual assault. Suge Knight's at San Diego's Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility.
Ooh.
Suge gets a hamburger, baked potato wedges, steamed corn, coleslaw, and ice cream. I don't think that's that bad. I'd be happy with that.
Oh, but Donovan, man.
Oh. Suge has struck a plea deal in a murder case back in September, serving a 28-year sentence. And Jared Fogle, the Subway guy who, well, yeah, child pornographer, doing at least 15 years. Beef or soy tacos, Mexican or steamed rice, black beans, corn, shredded cheese, and salsa. So, Chipotle? so that's what they're going to go ahead and eat in prison for Easter dinner, what they had for their Easter dinners. Also in Easter news, a poll, church membership in the U.S. has been plummeting over the past 20 years. The percentage of U.S. adults who belong to a church or other religious institution has plunged by 20 percentage points over the past 2 decades, hitting a low of 50% last year. That's according to a new Gallup poll. Among major demographic groups, the biggest drops were recorded among Democrats and Hispanics.
Hmm.
Church membership was 70% back in 1999 and close to or higher than that figure for most of the 20th century. Since 1999, though, the figure has fallen steadily, while the percentage of U.S. adults with no religious affiliation has jumped from 8 to 19%. And even among Americans identifying with a particular religion, there was a sharp drop in church membership among Catholics, dropping from 76 to 63% over the past two decades as the church was buffeted by clergy sex abuse scandals. Memberships among Protestants dropped from 73 to 67% over the same period. Among Hispanic Americans, church membership dropped from 68 to 45% since 2000, a much bigger decline than for non-Hispanic, white, and black Americans. So, Jason, what church do you go to?
Church of Improv.
Kareem?
I only go to church when I go to North Carolina.
Okay.
And that's only because that's where everybody's at on Sunday.
Right. Otherwise, you're just sitting home twiddling your thumbs.
Exactly.
I think we all fall into... Actually, I stopped going to church before that. So...
Yeah, I've never gone to church regularly.
Okay. I grew up Catholic, so all the way through high school and a little bit into college.
I grew up Baptist, so that's Catholic-like.
Mm. Yeah.
I always had a profound sense or want to find something spiritual.
Okay.
But, I just finally, you know, it's like, just don't be an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, the motto of the podcast is really the way to go. I mean, that's what Jesus really meant.
And if you're an asshole, apologize. Like, if you, like, as soon as you realize that you're the asshole, just say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry I was an asshole.
I don't mean to be an asshole.
I'd really like to. Really like to not be an asshole anymore. Great.
But I mean, like, really, though, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, because I've read a lot of books on spirituality. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know a lot of people. I know a few people that go to church on a regular basis.
I know a few as well. And for most of them, they, and again, the ones that I said, the ones I stay in touch with, I see people posting here and there. Who do that I grew up with that went that were, you know, from Catholic school that still do. But a lot of the people I know who go to church really use it almost like therapy, where they go and they sing songs in a group and it becomes this almost like group therapy for them because it brings them that bit of inner peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which great.
And that's why I call improv my church because that's the place I go to usually to do that.
Christopher Titus said, I don't care if you go to church. Whatever you have to do to not stab me in an ATM, I'm okay with it.
Yes.
So
true
I'm gonna,
words.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and agree with that. But the idea that we are a quote-unquote religious country and we are about religion is demonstrably less and less true as time goes forward.
Yeah.
Well, part of... Well, you didn't have any options before, so you didn't know anything about anything else until, like, the 80s. I'll say the 60s were, you know, but really, like, the late 80s were when people started to venture into other things.
Well, the real decline has been since 1999, so we had knowledge of everything else. It was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and blame the internet, because why not?
Well, I'm telling you, my folks had no options. They did, like a lot. Most people in the South don't even realize that Catholic is a Christian is Christianity. Catholicism and Christianity.
Who do they think the little man on the cross is?
They have no. I'm telling you, bro. They have no clue that Catholicism is Christianity.
That was what Kennedy faced.
I mean, that's what Chris, my wife, grew up like. You know. Going to Catholic school, like going to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the only Jews we ever knew about were the ones in the movies.
Well, yeah, I'm from Vermont. There weren't very many Jewish people. There was the ones that owned the music store.
See, and I grew up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, you have like, no, you had everybody.
I had like, there was just like, I mean, I learned about what being gay and HIV was. Like my uncle had HIV. In like 1989, so
that was back when it was serious.
Everything was open to me, and like it wasn't what I did know about Christians generally at that point were that they didn't like gay people, and that wasn't cool to me.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I saw.
A lot of that going on. We've got some breaking news as we record this show on Monday.
Oh, shit.
New Kings coach Luke Walton is being sued for sexually assaulting a woman who claims that he forced himself on her in his hotel room. That's according to a new lawsuit. In legal docs obtained by TMZ, Kelly Tennant claims that sometime before Walton became head coach of the Lakers, so that would have been 3 years ago?
Yeah.
He asked her to come meet him at his Santa Monica hotel to discuss a book she was writing. She said she says the two had a business relationship that went back several years, and she wanted him to write a foreword. In the suit, she says that when she arrived at the hotel, he convinced her to come up to his room so they could discuss the book. She claims when they got up to his room, he suddenly pinned her to the bed, placing his hips and legs over her body. Now, in documents, Tennant claims Walton then began forcing kisses on her neck, face, and chest. She claims she screamed for him to stop and tried to free herself, but he held her down, groped her breasts and groin, and rubbed his erection on her leg. She says he eventually relented and let her get up from the bed, but as she was walking toward the door to leave, he grabbed her from behind and again forced his body up against hers. She claims that when Walton finally released his grasp, she opened the door and left, but could hear him say, "Good to see you." So this is an allegation in a lawsuit. This is not good news for the Kings or Vlade Divac. Now, I don't know if there's any truth to this or not, and I don't really want to get into whether or not it's true, because there's no way we're going to know. But, Kareem, you're a season ticket holder with the Kings. This is not good news for them.
I don't think it'll be as bad as you think it will be.
It's a distraction, at least.
You know, I think it'll be one of those things where people who are mad that they hired him will use it, but I don't think a lot of people will care.
Mm. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But I was like, whoa.
Yeah, like I said, I saw it, but the climate is cooled off.
Yeah, and it's been at least 3 years now, and it's a lawsuit, not a criminal complaint.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what she's asking for.
Like I said, it's the climate is kind of cooled off, and, you know, like I said, it's just
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, people that were who didn't want him hired will use it, and everybody else will be like, whatever.
I don't know. Jason, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's going to be somebody's going to demand something, and somebody's going to have to act on it, and a lot of people are going to be upset. I mean, that's what's going to end up happening, because that's the way things work now.
I'm above and beyond the did he do it, did he not do it, yeah. Any of that stuff.
No.
I'm curious what this is going to do, any impact is going to be felt with the Kings, either on the court, to the idea
of the whole embroilment. Like, you cannot be. I think in order to be a good coach, you can't be on edge about other shit necessarily that you're having to deal with all the time. I mean, maybe you can. Maybe he's some type of wizard, and he has the ability to do that. But in order to function as a highly skilled individual, mm-hmm. Unless you leave everything out, like, it's going to be bombardment. I don't know. Maybe it could be the other way. You know, maybe it makes him just focus on that.
I think the real question is. I don't know if the Kings are looking to go after any free agents this offseason, if it's going to have any impact on someone going, should I go to Sacramento? And then they look at their wife and they're like, mm-mm.
That's not happening.
No. You say that, but I'm let me remind you of Doug Christie.
That chick was crazy. His wife is crazy.
Wait, what happened?
She's in charge. Don't forget it.
Yes.
And, but Sacramento is not really a free agent destination as it is. So I don't know that having that one more thing is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back on certain things.
So the other part of that is women aren't lockstep on this. So,
no, not at all.
Yeah. You know, so there's going to be somebody who's like who's going to have your reaction, and they're going to be like, oh, this bitch is after money. That's the two reactions that I've seen.
Yeah, that's not my reaction. I'm just wondering. I'm just like, what's going on?
I'm not saying it's your reaction, but I'm saying the way you put it, where she might be like,
right.
Yeah. But like I said, and then they're going to be somebody else. She's going to be like, yeah, nah. So, yeah, I can say that unless there, I guess we'll have to wait and see what else comes with it. If she has anything to back up her claim.
Right.
And then we'll have to see how Vivek reacts to it.
That's the other part of it is how is he going to react? Because we don't know that as of the recording of the show.
I guess that was what my point was earlier. Like, he's going to have to, ultimately, Vladi's going to have to make a decision. And there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like the decision one way or the other. That's me to keep him or not to keep him. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but that's the thing is, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as that.
You don't think so? I will.
No. I think like the owner might make a bigger deal out of it than.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
than the people will. I don't think there's going to be people standing in front of Golden One saying fire him.
No. I don't think that. My curiosity is what does it do for the reputation of the team around the league, and did Vladi do his due diligence in before he hired him? I mean, was this something that could have been found out? Because he ain't been hired that long.
Yeah, and he didn't really do any due diligence. He pretty much just hired him.
Yeah, and I think that's probably going to. I mean, I know we don't have the Rooney Rule in basketball. But
so,
could it have been like maybe that's why he was leaving? Why did he leave the Lakers? Just like, because that's where he was at before.
Because right? The Lakers weren't the Lakers have not been successful the past 3 years. Yeah. They've been getting a little better, and I think that LeBron James wasn't in love with Luke Walton, and it's LeBron's team. Let's be honest about
actually,
that.
Actually, it's Kobe Bryant's team.
Well, it's LeBron's team too. So, That was why that sort of happened. But anyway, also this past week we had the Mueller report came out, and it was the Mueller report. We learned a lot of things from the Mueller report. Some of the things we already knew, but before it was released in its redacted form, the Attorney General William Barr came out and made a statement.
The special counsel investigated a number of links or contacts between the Trump campaign officials and individuals connected with the Russian government during the 2016 presidential campaign. After reviewing these contacts, the special counsel did not find any conspiracy to violate U.S. law involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. So that's the bottom line. After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants, and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
Okay.
He might as well said, that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
He repeated a lot of the same things that Trump had said leading up to those things, leading up to the report. The thing is, it's not necessarily true. There was a lot of talk about no collusion, and the whole special prosecutor was never, collusion's not really a thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's no collusion, so it's not a thing. But that's not what they were investigating. And basically what they came back with was that there wasn't anything that they could prosecute for as a special counsel. A lot of it was pushed down the road to Congress and other investigations that are ongoing. But the as you really start to break this down, they didn't cooperate with Russia, not necessarily because they didn't want to. It was because they were either too inept to, and John Oliver broke down a few of those issues on Last Week Tonight with Michael Cohen being too inept to actually follow through with communications with people.
Yeah.
And the assumption that no one in the room with Jared and Don Jr. and Paul Manafort understood that that meeting was in fact breaking the law.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss on that one, because if I drive through a farmer's market and drive through several fruit stands and they go, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I go, "Well, I didn't know that was going to be a problem." They're not going to go, "Oh, well, all right then, sir, on your way." They're going to go, "Hey, look what you did." "Well, yeah, but that street's normally open. I mean, I drive down 20th Street all the time. You know, right in front of the Comedy Spot. So, you know, it's a two-way street. There's a stop sign there. I mean, I wasn't expecting there to be, you know, a fruit stand."
It's not there every other day of the week.
Right? I mean, it happened to be there on a Saturday, but I mean,
happens.
I had no idea that it would be wrong to drive through that.
It's not his fault, Your Honor.
Right?
He did not. I mean, that's not normal.
And the other part of it was the people around Donald Trump basically refused to follow through on his commands to do various things to stymie the investigation. In fact, White House counsel Don McGahn resigned rather than follow instructions from Trump. Now, and Leslie and I had this conversation, and she has a law degree. So this one actually legally is a little holds water, because if I were to say, "Jason, I want you to kill somebody for me. I'm serious. I want you to kill somebody for me."
Yeah.
And you were to say, "Nah, I'm not going to do that." I still would be charged with soliciting murder. But because this is not that type of activity, then it doesn't count. It's one of those weird vagaries of the law.
Well, it was interesting that he defined something right before he gave at the beginning of the speech so that he could say that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really, what he was saying really didn't matter.
Right.
It was like, "Okay, I'm going to tell you what this means." It's almost like telling you how the sky gets to be blue, but not really, and it not having shit to do with what she's about to say.
Yeah. Now,
lip service.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Sunday, Rudy Giuliani, president's TV lawyer, went on with Jake Tapper and, well,
"There are Russians that have been indicted.
I have no problem with investigating Russian interference in an election.
But they're Russians who were indicted."
"But that's not the reason this was a big story. This is a big story because they said that the man who got elected president of the United States was conspiring with the Russians in that interference, which is close to treason. Man, that's what made it a national, international story. You know,
there are people, Russians on the have been interfering, were talking to Russians, right?
Russians, yeah, and there were people on Hillary's campaign that were talking to Ukrainians. I mean, the reality is, you think this is the first time the Russians have interfered in an American election?"
"No, it's definitely not. But let me ask you a question, because Mitt Romney put out a statement saying that he was, quote, appalled that, among other things, fellow citizens working in a campaign for president welcomed help from Russia, including information that had been illegally obtained, that none of them acted to inform American law enforcement." It's good news,
man,
that there is insufficient evidence, but man, what about the willingness?
I could tell you the things he wanted to do.
That Rudy Giuliani,
Romney guy wanted to do. Come on.
What do you mean, the things that
Stop
Mitt Romney
the bull. Wanted? Stop the bull. Stop this pious act that you weren't trying to dig up dirt on people, putting dirt out on people.
Who, Mitt Romney?
When he was running for president. I ran against him.
Right.
So did John McCain run against him.
But he wasn't accepting information from foreigners.
I don't know if he was accepting information from foreigners. Who says that the president accepted information from foreigners? You mean people on his campaign might have done it? First of all,
Trump Tower meeting, I think, is what he was referring to. The willingness to sit down with Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton. That is what Mitt Romney seems to be talking about.
What a hypocrite.
But why is that
any candidate in the whole world in America would take information negative
from a foreign source? From a hostile foreign source?
Who says it's even illegal? Who says it's even illegal? And does the information turn out to be false, by the way? The information that was gleaned and disseminated, every newspaper printed it. Why did the Washington Post print the information that came from a foreign source when they knew it was hacked. Aren't they just as wrong for doing that as the campaign wanting to use it?
Why do you think Mitt Romney is a hypocrite if he is
saying... Mitt Romney did things very similar to that.
Taking information
from Russians? There's nothing wrong with taking information from Russians.
There's nothing wrong with taking
information. Depends on where it came from.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
This is the president's lawyer.
Like, what's he just... He's just babbling.
No, well, he's not. Hey, well, getting around to... Okay. So nothing happened,
right.
But even if it did, it probably wasn't illegal, and even if it was, it doesn't matter. That is the circle.
It's a circle of fucking shit.
That is the circle that this administration has been talking for the past 2 years.
3 years.
Well, as an administration, 2 years, but yes, 3 years. Nothing happened, but if it did, so what? It doesn't matter. And that's their message they're putting out. And there are a lot of people that they're okay with that. There are a lot of people that only watched Barr's statement before the Mueller report came out. And that's the end for them. That's the end for them. The attorney general said there's nothing there. Look, Mueller report, nothing there. No collusion, blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the fun part. You remember that old meme, Thanks Obama?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's an opinion piece from CNN. The partisan warfare over the Mueller report will rage, but one thing cannot be denied. Former President Barack Obama looks just plain bad. On his watch, Russians meddled in our democracy while his administration did nothing about it. The Mueller report flatly states Russia began interfering with American democracy in 2014. Over the next couple of years, the effort blossomed into a robust attempt to interfere with our 2016 presidential election. The Obama administration knew it was going on and yet did nothing. That's how this starts.
Who wrote that?
It was Scott Jennings, a CNN contributor, former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and former campaign advisor to Senator Mitch McConnell. Who, Mitch McConnell, is legendary for stymieing anything that Barack Obama tried to put through.
So, Mitch McConnell was the leader of the Gang of Eight, mm-hmm. who said that they could not, when the Obama administration came to them to say, hey, this is what's going on, he was the first person to be like, no, you can't tell the public that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham were the two people who stopped the Obama administration from saying, hey, the Russians are doing A, B, and C. So for this asshole.
You got to consider, anytime there's an opinion piece, you have to consider the source.
So for this asshole to write an opinion piece trying to blame Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. He can go suck a donkey's dick.
Now, let me point out that this piece came out about a day or two after Trump said, well, all this happened when Obama was president. Why didn't he do something? And then lo and behold, there's an opinion piece about how it's all Obama's fault.
So those people that you described are the people that still don't, Let me run down the last five Republican administrations.
Kareem is flummoxed by this whole thing, and I don't blame him.
Let me run down the last five Republican administrations. Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with him?
Impeached. No, he didn't impeach. He resigned.
He resigned.
He got impeached. His vice president was a bag man who was taking bribes.
Correct.
So you got the vice president and the president as criminals doing two separate, totally different crimes.
Bam.
Think about that.
That's a lot.
You're corrupt doing this shit. He's corrupt doing this shit. Y'all don't even know each other really until you get on the same ticket. But you motherfuckers are that corrupt.
What?
Yes.
It's fake news, bro. Prove it. Prove it. What's the next one?
Next one's fucking Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
What's wrong with him?
See, Gerald Ford doesn't count. He wasn't elected.
No. Iran-Contra.
What was wrong with that?
The crack epidemic.
What's wrong with that?
Let me also point out that William Barr was the attorney general for George H.W. Bush. So this is all part of what Kareem's tying up here. Go on.
So he just, thank you, because that was where I was going with that next.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get George Bush Jr., who took us to war.
No.
Oh, some bullshit. And I don't even go, I still don't even blame him for that war.
That was Dick Cheney's war.
That was Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld war.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who were also in those other three administrations that I just talked about.
Oh, and who also...
Oh, I'm going to hell.
And they all have, like, controlling stock options in some type of paramilitary group.
Yes.
And stuff. Okay, yeah, just, yeah.
So, all of them. And then I knew this was a possibility. I said when fucking after Bush, I said either you're going to have somebody who's going to take this shit to the next level or it's going to overcorrect. So Obama overcorrected, did everything by the fucking book. And then the Republicans got back in and threw the fucking book out the window. They set that motherfucker on fire.
Like, ah!
To be fair, Obama did wear a tan suit and use a selfie stick. Let's not forget these egregious behaviors.
They set the fucking book on fire and put in the gang that couldn't shoot straight, that couldn't commit treason straight. That's what we got in fucking office.
Nip it
right
in the bud.
You can't fucking do treason right. And remember last week when I said what the Democrats should do is let him do all the dumb shit that he wants to do?
Yes.
Everybody who's in this motherfucker, if they had to just let him do all the shit, we would have already got rid of this bastard. Jay Sekulow, all those people that didn't do the shit that he told them to do are the reason why he's still in office. The reason why come this was didn't end up being a criminal prosecution is because they didn't do what he told them to do.
What do you think? Why isn't anybody? It's too bad that they can't subpoena Mattis.
They have subpoenaed Don McGahn, the former White House counsel, who quit rather than follow Trump's instructions.
Yes.
Mm.
So this, look, this isn't over.
Yeah, no.
And while the Democratic, here's the fun fact. So the Democratic establishment doesn't want to even enter into this whole impeachment situation because they're like, well, there's an election in 18 months anyway. Why bother? And it's weird. That would be like saying, okay, there's a dude in the neighborhood who's mugging people, but his lease is up, so he's going to have to move anyway.
The Democratic Party is going to lose this election by not impeaching him. Because the people in the Democratic Party are tired of them being stepped on, and they want them to fight.
That's the Bill Maher theory.
That is exactly what's going on. All of these people on the news, like the news media, is what's ringing, is what's causing them to wring their hands by saying, "Oh, well." Matter of fact, the news media has put all of this under the Democratic Party's as a responsibility for what they're supposed to do, as opposed to being like, okay, Republicans, this is your shit.
Yeah. How about you help clean it up?
How about you clean up your shit? And that's how,
or at least help.
Yeah. At least help. That's how it should be framed, like, every day, because that's what the issue is.
Yeah, but unfortunately they're not talking to the guys that they should be talking to are working, right? I mean, like, Romney has a lot of work to do in the Senate, right? I mean, like, he's trying to do whatever he can. Cause he's probably trying to get people to come over. He's probably trying to.
I don't know that Romney would be part of that. No. Now they know they're going to lose an impeachment vote in the Senate.
Yeah.
That's a given.
It's a given.
That doesn't mean you don't do it. If you are funny, and that's what these investigations are going to be about. And we will know in the next, I would say, 3 months, if the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives is going to stand up and make a fist and say, no, this isn't okay. We found things that are impeachable offenses. And as someone pointed out, if this Mueller report would have come out all at once,
yeah,
and we hadn't known any of this stuff, and it just all dropped, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, the country would be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But because the news has done a good job of finding out little things here and there and investigating, it's about once every month or so, there's some other thing that comes out and they do their little damage control and then they distract.
Yeah.
And then they do the little damage control and then they distract. And then they go, this whole thing's nothing.
Yeah.
And there are people who buy that.
And all,
a lot of people
do. And all of those people are the same people who, when people were warning them about the fucking drug companies, no, they're not like that. And now we got a fucking opioid crisis. They're the same people who, when we were talking about CEO, how much more money they were making, like, oh, that's not that big a deal. They're all the same fucking people.
By the way, the people, this also strikes me as interesting. The people that will yell and scream about Mike Trout is getting paid way more money than he deserves, and why does anybody deserve that much money, will say nothing about a CEO bringing home 300 times what his average worker brings home.
Are you talking about Iger making $66 million a year?
There's not just one.
It doesn't matter. It's just all of them.
No, I know.
Yeah.
When
I know a guy, that told me recently that he trusts CEOs more than he trusts a politician.
And that's the thing. That's so... fuck, MSNBC pisses me off. Well, actually, MSNBC and CNN pisses me off when they do these man on the street interviews, but they only go to white people. That's it. So we're in the Midwest today.
Well, what
we're gonna see what Doug thinks about this. Like, fuck, you need to go ask Ishmael what he thinks about this shit.
Do you think Ishmael's going to even want to be on TV, though? Is he going to say, no, I can't be on TV?
No, he's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
No, they keep going to these fucking people that supposedly left the Democratic Party to ask him about their feelings.
Go talk to the freshman members of the House.
Yeah, go talk to
that are brown ladies.
Yeah, like,
see what they think.
Go talk to some brown people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every morning it's the same. Like, oh, we're gonna go to the coffee shop. Like, motherfucker. Like, look,
that's their demographic.
Go to people that got jobs or are on their way to work, and ask them. Not people that got time to sit in the fucking donut shop.
Yeah. All right. That's a good point. So let's move away from the idea of asking black people about things and talk about something completely different. A once underground movement of Finnish girls who conduct elaborate dressage routines with toy hobby horses has gone mainstream with coaches, competitions, and trainers, and it's spreading abroad. The subculture came together through quiet internet message boards that attracted girls and young women who traded tips on routines, making their own hobby horses, and created an informal network of competitions and routines. These girls come from a variety of backgrounds. Some are the popular kids, some are outcasts, but they're united by a form of incense, shared fantasy, and athleticism. There's a documentary called Hobby Horse Revolution if you want to watch it.
Oh my God. What won't your people do?
I'm not Scandinavian Kareem. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is almost like that Tickle movie that came out.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is.
There's like professional ticklers.
And there's an article in the New York Times titled Finland's Hobby Horse Girls, Once a Secret Society, Now Prance in Public.
Wow.
Kareem, what if we asked Ishmael about that?
That is the whitest thing I've heard today. It might be the whitest thing I heard the month of April.
Oh, I saw that and I'm like, oh, we've got to at least mention that. Wow. At least as a transition. We did a lot of serious stuff this show. So, but before we wrap up, want to remind everybody again, please hit the shop Amazon or shop Target tabs at the top of WTHpod.com. Or if you're old school, NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show, doesn't cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate the support. And now let's do this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Oh, we go to the land of my birth, the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, Dateline Newport, Vermont. This is from April 15th. After months of waiting, spring has finally made its appearance with a splash in Newport on Saturday. The Lake Memphremagog Ice Out Contest is now in its fifth year, and it garnered a record 1,444 guesses this winter. The number of guesses more than doubled this this year, largely thanks to the Recreation Committee, who put a lot of volunteer time and energy into selling tickets. That's according to Jessica Booth, the director of Parks and Rec. Predictions came in from all across the country online as well. Ooh, I missed out. Yeah. Many of the online submissions came from around New England, but some came from as far as Colorado, South Carolina, Wisconsin, and Georgia. Entering them was a little tedious, but it was interesting to see where the guesses were coming from and which dates and times were most popular. Laura Smith, who had the pleasure of entering all 1,444 guesses into an electronic spreadsheet, said five different people chose April 1st at 11 a.m., for example. April 20th at 4:20 was a popular guess, too.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Parks foreman Mac McKinney happened to be at Gardner Park on Saturday fishing with his sons and nephew when Vanilla Ice broke through near the Causeway Bridge at 11:07 a.m.
Boom.
It was cool to actually see it go down, McKinney said. It started to tip, and after a few minutes, the whole thing dropped. We got to see the clock stop, and it was a first for sure. Now, while everyone is excited that spring has finally arrived, the announcement is most exciting to first-time Ice Out contestant Steve Lawson, who submitted two predictions on town meeting day in March. His winning guess of 10:05 a.m. on 4:13 was just 1 hour and 2 minutes ahead of the actual time. Said, my first prediction was way too early, he admitted. He couldn't attribute his strategy for the winning prediction to anything more than a lucky guess. Now the Lake Memphis Magog Ice Out Contest is an annual fundraiser for the Newport Parks and Recreation Department. This year, it brought in $3,166 toward the Gardner Park Playground and Splash Pad Project. Lawson took home $1,583 as his half of the 50-50 cash prize. I'm not quite sure how that works. So with a 50-50 draw, you get half of...
Maybe somebody matches half also.
Half? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That is weird.
It's very not, weird.
It's not.
So yeah, something finally fell through the ice in mid-April.
And you got $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's kind of an asshole that he didn't just donate the money back to the playground, because you can't make much of a playground for $3,000.
Well, you don't know his life. You don't know his story. Maybe that $1,500 is how he's going to feed his family.
What about those kids, though?
What about his kids?
Does he even have kids?
It's a playground.
And if he has kids, does it matter?
Look, if...
Why? Well, we're not talking about his kids. We're talking
there's
about...
There's already a playground there, too. They don't need a splash pad. That's just extra. That's just fancy lad stuff.
Exactly.
That's East.
This ain't the Bay Area, Jason. That's this is East the Sacramento. Northeast. This is the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, for God's sake. And by the way, you're putting in a splash pad where it took until April 13th for the goddamn ice to break.
Oh man.
Why are you putting in a splash pad?
Because
of all fucking things. Seven months out of the year, it's just going to be a goddamn ice pad.
But there's that one day in August where it's like 80.
It might be 80, like 85. 85 there is not pleasant.
It probably sucks a butthole.
It really does, because it's humid.
And it probably stinks like butthole.
It does. All right, that's going to do it for us for this episode of the WTH Pod. Thank you for joining. We're going to have our own stuff like that. Tell your friends about us. WTHpod.com. We are on Instagram.
Why haven't you told your friends about
us? Be a pal. Tell your friends.
All of them.
Yeah. And new shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Until next time, for Kareem and Jason, I'm Nate. And when you see something, say something like, the hell? Bye-bye.